We're turning in God's Word this evening to Luke's Gospel, the Gospel of Luke, the chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Want to thank your minister for those very, very kind words of welcome. I don't know if he's really being honest, or at least fully honest or truthful, because when I arrived up in this part of the world about 10 o'clock or so this morning, I arrived a little bit early at Bush Mills because I was afraid of getting lost. But I lifted my phone and there was almost 20 missed calls trying to cancel me from coming up to Bush Mills today. Seemingly there was some misunderstanding, and your minister discovered early this morning that I should not have been here at all. But he was very gracious to the people in Bush Mills, and he only afflicted them with me once in the morning. And then he thought he would afflict you good people, and he probably felt I would make him look good, and you'll appreciate his ministry much more now in the future after hearing me this evening. But anyway, the Lord is sovereign, and we do rejoice in the opportunity to be here tonight and to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we trust that God will bless us. We certainly rejoice in what the Lord has done for you. It's good to see the church renovated and all the progress that has gone on. It's good to see so many in God's house on a Lord's Day evening. We trust that God will encourage us around his word. If you're not saved, then we pray that tonight will be the greatest night in your life when you come to know Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. May you leave this meeting rejoicing in God's salvation, so full, so rich, and so free. Luke's Gospel, the chapter 23. We're going to commence reading at verse 32. This brings us, of course, to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two thieves were crucified with the Lord on this particular day. We read here in verse 32, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. Amen. And we do know that God will bless the reading of his own holy and precious word to each and every heart. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer as we come to God's word this evening. We're very conscious of our need of God's help, of the power of the Holy Spirit. Let every believer pray that the Lord will condescend graciously in mercy among us tonight to bless his people to restore the backslidden in heart, to save sinners from the power and from the penalty of their sin, to save souls from a lost eternity in hell. Let's unite together and seek the face of God in prayer. Let's all pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the scriptures of truth. Thy word is truth. From Genesis to Revelation, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray that thy Spirit would come with power into this meeting house tonight, drive home the truth of his word to every heart. Indeed, we pray for regenerating grace. We pray for that irresistible grace of God, that men, women, and children would be born of thy Spirit in this house. We pray for that new heart. We pray for that new nature. We pray for the new mind, enabling sinners to turn away from sin in repentance and in faith unto our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the cross of Calvary. We thank thee that what we have read is God's truth. We thank thee that these events took place in history because God, before the foundation of the world, determined to send forth his Son, covenanted to send forth Christ to save his people from their sins. We thank thee that Jesus Christ, God the eternal Son, took to himself our nature, became bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, to bear away our sins in his own body on Calvary's middle tree. We thank thee, Jesus Christ did not die in vain. Jesus Christ did not die a failure, but through the shedding of his blood, he satisfied fully, he satisfied eternally God's divine justice on behalf of every believer. And we do pray that men and women tonight, and even boys and girls and young people in this house, that they would trust in Jesus Christ, in the merit of his blood, in the merit of his righteousness alone, for the everlasting salvation of their souls. Lord, come among us, we pray. Give us a glorious sense of God in our midst tonight. We know that where the church gathers together, Christ is present. O God, awaken us, we pray. Lord, revive that sense of thy holy, holy, holy presence in this house tonight. Now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name, and for Christ's sake, amen. Amen. Our text this evening is taken from the words of Luke chapter 23, the verses 42 and 43. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Shortly after our arrival home from the mission field last year, the city of London erupted into criminality and violence. Our television screens showed forth, not only here in Northern Ireland, but indeed across the world, mobs of rioters roaming through the streets of the capital, and indeed the violence and the crime spread to other major centres of population, and the streets were filled with evil and wickedness, homes and businesses were set ablaze, and the authorities by and large seemed to be standing by powerless to prevent the chaos and the crime. There is no question that the government of the land was greatly embarrassed, not only in the eyes of men and women here at home, but also in the eyes of the world, as the world watched on. There is no question that being greatly embarrassed, the government and the authorities wanted to crack down and track down as many as they possibly could that were involved in the violence and in the crime of those days. I heard of one case that was reported that one person was sentenced to 6 months imprisonment because they had stolen a bottle of water. Many, of course, upon hearing that, they were outraged at such a severe sentence, such a harsh punishment for what seemed to be a very trivial crime indeed. Although I must say, having been robbed and burgled recently myself as a family, I have very little sympathy with those who were put in prison for apparently trivial crimes. But certainly when we come to our Bible reading tonight, we discover something of real severity when we find two men hanging beside the Lord Jesus Christ under the sentence of death because they were thieves. And as we are about to see this evening, one of those thieves, the one that was enlightened by God, came to a realization that the sentence of death upon him was certainly very just indeed. He recognized for his crimes against society, and as we are about to see, certainly for his sins against God, he deserved not only physical death, but he deserved the second death in the lake of fire that burneth forever and forever. But this evening I want to focus our attention more upon how the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with that hell-deserving sinner in grace and in great mercy. Now, the first thing that our attention is drawn to here is the condition of this thief. He is, of course, facing imminent death. We read there in verse 32, "And there were also two other malefactors led with Christ to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." This penitent thief, this criminal, was about to die. He was very conscious of the fact that he was living out his final moments in this world. He realized he would soon draw his last breath. He would soon breathe his last this side of God's eternity. He knew that he was about to die. He knew that death was not only inevitable, but he knew that he would die very, very soon. And of course, there is a very real sense, a very solemn sense, in which that is true of every man, every woman, every child in this house tonight. You may not sense it as this thief sensed it as he was stretched out upon that cross. You may not be as aware of this fact, of this reality, as this man, as his chest was heaving and his breathing became labored to the point where he could hardly speak. But nonetheless, it is absolutely true of every man, woman, and child in this congregation tonight. There is but a step. A step between you and death. There is but a step between you and God's eternity. You will die very soon. The Bible asks that question, that solemn heart-searching question, in James 4, verse 14, what is your life? Doesn't matter how healthy you are, it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, the answer is the same. What is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Man is of few days, and those days are full of trouble. And I suggest those troubles serve to remind us, or they ought to remind us, that we are in this world but for a short time. The time is short. It is time to seek the Lord. As we read in Amos 4, verse 12, prepare to meet thy God, for death is coming very soon. I think of that rich young man, that rich young farmer. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks of in his word, and perhaps one day he rose up and he flung the windows open or the door open and he looked out upon a bumper harvest. Things never looked so good for him. He said to his soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He thought he had the world at his feet. He thought he was going to enjoy life to the full. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Oh, he did not expect to hear that. He did not expect to receive that summons from God. I can picture perhaps the sweat breaking upon his brow, maybe that sickness of feeling entering into his body, lying upon his bed, calling for the best doctors, the best physicians to hand. But perhaps apart from mopping his brow and dampening his lips, there was nothing they could do. With all his wealth, with all his money, with all his riches, the summons had come. God had said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And that man was going to die, and not any power in heaven, earth, or hell could prevent the summons of God. You may feel healthy. You may think you have many years yet to live in this world. But how many friends of yours thought the same last year, even this year? How many family members thought the same last year or even this year? How many, perhaps from this very congregation, they thought they were healthy and well and fit and fine? But this man has buried them beneath the sod. They didn't expect to die any more than you expect to die tonight. But the hour came when God said, this night, this day, this hour, thy soul is required of thee. Are you ready for the summons? Young or old? Are you prepared to meet God? But notice in the second place here, not only his condition, but his confession. There were, of course, two thieves crucified with Christ that particular day. One of those thieves rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. That is really astounding when you begin to think about it. There are people and they will say, "My, if only I could have been there, if only I could have heard the prophets and witnessed their great works, their miracles, their preaching, and certainly if only I could have seen the Lord, if I could only have witnessed Christ raising the dead, healing the sick, causing the blind to see, if I could have seen the Lord raised from the dead, if I could have gazed upon him hanging on Calvary in agony and blood for my sins, then I would believe." Driving up this morning, I heard of a missionary, a man who I think he had gone out from America down to South America, to the Amazon, to a particular tribe to translate the scriptures into their language. One day, some of the tribesmen came to him and they said, "What does Jesus look like?" And the missionary said, "Well, I don't know." They said, "Is he brown? Is he white? Or what?" And he said, "Well, I've never seen Jesus. I don't know what he looks like." And they said, "Well, you must know somebody who has seen the Lord Jesus Christ." This is how they thought. They could not imagine a missionary coming to tell them about a person that missionary had never seen, or at least had some first-hand knowledge of. And that missionary on the radio told how that began to make him think, and eventually he gave up his faith and he turned his back on God. But of course, we are saved by faith and not by sight. The Lord has given us, I suppose you might say, spiritual sight to see the Christ of Scripture and to receive him by faith. But there are many people, and though their thinking may be slightly different to those Indians in the Amazon, they want to see physical evidence of the existence of God, of the existence of Christ. And they would say, "My, if only I could see him, I would believe." Well, here's a man who saw. Here's a man who saw the scriptures, the prophecies unfolding before his very eyes. Here's a man who beheld God manifest in the flesh, hanging in agony and in blood. Just as the prophets had said, just as God had promised. And yet this man went to hell, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. But the other thief, he confessed his sins. In Luke 23, verse 39, "And one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." Went to hell blaspheming the name of the Lord. Went to hell in his unbelief. Went to hell in his sins. Watching the blood of the Lamb flow from the body of God manifested in the flesh. Verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And not only does he recognize the sinlessness, the holiness, the purity, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only does he recognize that Christ was dying, not for the Savior's sins, because he had no sin, he was dying for the sins of his people. And this thief, he recognized that Jesus Christ was dying for his sins. And he says to the other impenitent thief, we are nailed to the cross, we are fastened to the tree, we are under the sentence of death, we're about to enter into eternity condemned, and rightly and justly so, because we are hell-deserving sinners. As we are about to see, this thief recognized death was not the end. There was something beyond the grave. He knew about heaven and about hell. He knew he was condemned to die and condemned to go to hell justly for his sins. Do you realize that? You're sitting here tonight, you tell me you believe the Bible. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe this is God's Word? Do you believe in heaven? Oh yes, you'll believe in heaven, I'm sure. But do you really believe in hell? Where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. The hell that Jesus Christ speaks of, that place of endless, unbearable punishment for sin under the wrath of a sin-hating God. Do you believe the day is coming when the judge of all the earth shall say to men and women who reject him, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Do you believe that? For I tell you, there are many sitting in churches all over this country, and they do not believe it. They say they are Christians, but they say God is a liar. And his word is nothing better than trash, because they don't believe in hell. But one day, like the rich man, they'll have a rude awakening when they open their eyes, being in torments. And that's what you and I deserve. You've been born in a so-called Christian country. Maybe you've attended the Free Presbyterian Church. I'm not talking now about the Church of Ireland or the Irish Presbyterian apostasy. There are men and women sitting in our congregations in the Free Presbyterian Church, and they do not really believe the Bible when it says they deserve to go to hell. This is real. And until you come to that place in your life when, like this penitent thief, you acknowledge you are justly under condemnation from God, that because of your sin you deserve death, not just physical, but spiritual and everlasting in hell forever and forever and forever. Until you recognize that truth and confess that truth, you will not be saved. Oh, that God would bring you to your knees this evening. This man couldn't bow his knees at the foot of the cross because he was nailed to a cross. But he bowed his heart, humbly confessing his sins before God. Like that old publican in the temple, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Have you been brought to that place? If not, then I fear you're still on the road to destruction, on the road to damnation, on the road to a lost eternity. But notice here in the third place, not only the condition and the confession of this thief, but his call. Verse 42 of Luke 23, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, here is a man being saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And here's a man confessing his sins and calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. And he cries out, "Lord," perhaps here with his dying breath, "Lord, remember me. When thou comest into thy kingdom." He knew death would not be the end of Christ. Oh, he knew Christ was going to die. He could see that as well as any man could see it. But he knew death would not be the end of Jesus Christ. He knew death would not be the end of Christianity. He knew, he recognized who this man was. He recognized him as the Lord from heaven, as God, a very God, yes, manifested in the flesh, hanging in agony and blood, bleeding and dying for his sins. But he knew that this man would rise from the dead. He knew that Jesus Christ had a kingdom that was everlasting, a kingdom that was eternal. He knew that Christ would not simply rise, but that Jesus Christ would reign. And so he cries out, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And notice in that call, he confesses Christ as his Lord. And indeed as his King. "Remember me." A vile, pathetic, worthless, hell-deserving sinner. "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He received Christ as Christ is offered in the gospel. He received Christ as his Lord. He received Christ as his King. And I say to you tonight, unless Jesus Christ is your Lord, unless Jesus Christ is your King, then you are in danger of hell forever and forever. There are those, and they will tell us, you can respond to some little altar call, you can make some kind of a little profession, you can say your little prayer, and you can go and drink, and you can smoke, and you can dance, and you can gamble, and you can womanize, and do all the things that the world is doing, and you can think it is well with your soul. But I tell you, any preacher who tells you that is a liar. I'm not here to make salvation difficult for anybody. But unless you bow before Christ as your Lord and as your King, your soul will go to hell. When I was in the States, there was a controversy raging called the Lordship Controversy. Among so-called evangelicals, there was the debate that some argued you could simply come and respond to a little altar call and make a little profession and all would be well with your soul, and maybe down the line, well, then you can start to worry about sanctification, then you can start to worry about serving God, then you can start to think upon Christ, perhaps receiving Him as your Lord, as your King, as your Master. That's not the gospel. Did you ever learn the catechism? Not that it's the Bible, but it's certainly based upon the Bible. Who is the only redeemer of God's elect? The Lord Jesus Christ, the only redeemer. And He can only redeem sinners by being their prophet, their priest, and their king. That's how Christ is offered to you tonight in the gospel. It is a free offer, certainly. A glorious offer, a genuine offer. But He's offered to you as prophet. In other words, you must receive, you must believe His word, or you will go to hell. He is offered to you as priest. You must believe in, you must receive, you must trust and depend upon His once for all sacrifice for sin. You must trust in His merit, the merit of His blood, His righteousness alone for the salvation of your soul, or you will go to hell. And you must receive Him as your King, as your Lord. For I tell you tonight, upon the authority of God's word, your soul will be damned. The only Christ who can save you is the Christ of Scripture. The Christ of man's imagination is a myth. Trust in Him, and that false Christ will take you to hell. The only Christ who can save you is the only Redeemer, our prophet, our priest, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man received Christ as his King. And he was saved. Notice here in closing his comfort. We've looked at his condition, his confession, his call. But Christ comforted this man in the face of death. Christ comforted this man with His word. Verse 44, in the face of death, on the verge of eternity, Christ spoke to the penitent thief and He said, verily, in other words, truly, this is the truth. How many open graves have you stood at? How many funeral sermons have you sat through? And listened to some lying apostate dog. That's what the Bible calls them. Burying scoundrels. God haters. Christ rejectors, sin lovers, in the sure and certain hope of a resurrection unto eternal life. You do not need the comfort of lies. In In the face of death, you need the truth to comfort you. You need the truth of Christ, the truth of His Word to comfort you. And Jesus Christ said He spoke the truth to this man, the truth about eternity. Verily, you need to hear what Christ has to say. Doesn't matter what I say. You need to know what Christ says in His Word. His Word is truth. Verily I say unto thee, today, you think about that. For Christ will say that soon to every believer here. For some, the river of death will be wide and deep. There's a hard death awaiting you. But there's comfort in the Word of Christ. For others, that river may be shallow and very narrow. In a few moments, you'll be gone. But what comfort in these words of the Lord. Today, thou shalt be with me. That's what we need to hear when it comes our time to die. Are you ready? Paul could say, I am now ready. Is that your testimony? Have you turned from your sin like this penitent thief? Are you trusting in Christ, in His blood, in His righteousness? Do you have the confidence that Paul had? We are confident for my soul to be absent from my body is to be present with the Lord. Are you saved? If not, be sure to get saved tonight. Be sure to turn from your sins. For you'll either hear, as this thief heard, the words of grace and mercy, today thou shalt be with me. Or you'll hear what that old farmer, that young farmer heard. This night thy soul shall be required. And you'll die in your sins. You'll go to hell. Prepare. Now. This is urgent. Prepare. Indeed, when those words were spoken, it was God's ultimatum. Prepare to meet thy God. Let's bow together in prayer.
Our Father, tonight we have been confronted with realities that affect time and eternity. Lord, we realize, O God, the solemnity, Lord, of the closing moments of this meeting. We thank Thee, Lord, for the one who died on that middle cross, the only Savior of men. And, O God, we pray that as this meeting would draw to a close now, Lord, Thy Spirit will strive and work in hearts. We pray, Lord, there might be those who will lift their eyes heavenward and say, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. We realize, O God, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And our Father, we pray for the workings of Thy Spirit. We ask, O God, that it would please Thee to open hearts and open eyes and give men and women in this meeting, Lord, willing hearts to embrace the Savior. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy word. Thy word is truth. And we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy servant who brought it. Part us now with Thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. May the blessing of God the Father and the love of God the Son and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit go with us now and abide with us forevermore until Christ comes or calls us. We ask these things in the Savior's name. Amen.